Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Naima Latif for On Air Daily News, Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. Today has been declared International Day of Peace by the United Nations. September 21st is the day that the United Nations is celebrating its theme of peace. The 2022 theme is End Racism, Build Peace. Each year, the International Day of Peace is observed around the world on the 21st of September. The UN General Assembly has declared this as a day devoted to strengthening the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire. But achieving true peace entails much more than laying down arms. It requires the building of societies where all members feel that they can flourish. It involves creating a world in which people are treated equally, regardless of their race. Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, "Racism continues to poison institutions, social structures, and everyday life in every society. It continues to be a driver of persistent inequality, and it continues to deny people their fundamental human rights. It destabilizes societies, undermines democracies, erodes the legitimacy of governments, and the linkages between racism and gender inequality are unmistakable." Well, as conflicts continue to erupt around the globe, causing people to flee, we have seen race-based discrimination at borders. As COVID-19 keeps attacking our communities, we have also seen how certain racial groups have been hit much harder than others. As economies suffer, we've seen hate speech and violence directed at racial minorities. So as the United Nations International Day of Peace organizers state, we all have a role to play in fostering peace, and tackling racism is a crucial way to contribute. We can work to dismantle the structures that entrench racism in our midst. We can support movements for equality and human rights everywhere. We can speak out against hate speech, both offline and online. We can promote anti-racism through education and reparatory justice. The 2022 theme for the International Day of Peace is End Racism, Build Peace. The United Nations International Day of Peace organizers are urging others to join their efforts in working toward a world free of racism and racial discrimination, a world where compassion and empathy overcome suspicion and hatred, a world we can truly be proud of. The 2022 events for the International Day of Peace will be observed at the United Nations headquarters. The program began with the traditional peace bell ceremony at the Peace Garden at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And at the event, the Secretary General and President of the General Assembly rang the peace bell. Following that, the youth observance held at the Economic and Social Council Chamber held more than 500 students to interact with the Secretary General and high-profile artists and activists. This observance on September 16th, 2022, was broadcast live, and you can see it at the program of the Youth Observance. This International Day of Peace was established in 1981 by the United Nations General Assembly. 2 decades later, in 2001, the General Assembly unanimously voted to designate to designate the day as a period of nonviolence and ceasefire. Well, of course, this is a significant milestone in seeking world peace, especially because as those nations are urging an end to the war in the Ukraine, there continues to be a difficult fight raged against nature's own war. Hurricane Fiona is surging and many are being displaced. FEMA has added hundreds of additional personnel, sending them to Puerto Rico in response to the hurricane. In San Juan, Puerto Rico, today FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell traveled to assess the devastation caused by Hurricane Fiona and to determine the additional resources needed to support the island's recovery. FEMA deployed one national and four regional incident management teams and two urban search and rescue teams to augment the hundreds of FEMA personnel on the ground. The additional staff will help bolster the government of Puerto Rico's efforts to respond to this natural disaster. Our partnership with the government of Puerto Rico has never been stronger, and we remain committed to helping them respond to and recover from Hurricane Fiona, said FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell. We're sending hundreds of additional personnel in the next few days to place staff in each of the affected communities to supplement our already vast footprint. The administrator's trip comes on the fifth anniversary of Hurricane Maria hitting the island, and it follows the emergency declaration President Joseph Biden approved on Sunday. The declaration authorizes FEMA to coordinate all federal disaster relief efforts to save lives and protect property. Administrator Criswell called Governor Pedro R. Pierluisi on Monday to discuss Fiona's impacts and how FEMA can provide additional support. One of the ways FEMA is providing additional resources is by increasing the number of field operations, including staff. Hurricane Fiona's rain bands continue to cause flooding along the potential mud and landslides across Puerto Rico. While the storm has moved north, additional flash and urban flooding is possible in the southern portion of the main island. Although the storm is moving away from Puerto Rico, residents are encouraged to stay alert to continuing hazards. So as FEMA's official news and media organ has reported, FEMA's support of the government of Puerto Rico has been ongoing, and while heavy rain and strong winds of Fiona have devastated the island, FEMA has been in collaboration with Puerto Rico and other local and federal partners to help better prepare the island for hurricane response. FEMA has been tracking the potential impacts of this severe weather event well ahead of the storm's landfall, said Region 2 Administrator David Warrington. It is our mission to help people before, during, and after disasters, and we remain committed to supporting the government of Puerto Rico for as long as we are needed. The government of Puerto Rico is appreciative of the support FEMA has already provided, and we welcome the support of additional personnel, said Governor Pierluisi. The amount of rain Puerto Rico received has been extraordinary, approximately 25 inches, but according to the National Weather Service, that number could rise as much as 35, Governor Pierluisi added. Life safety remains to be a top priority, and it is my sincere hope that people will continue to follow the advice of local officials and stay home, he said. FEMA will continue to work with the government of Puerto Rico to respond to and recover from the storm and will remain committed to helping reduce risks and hazards posed by future disasters and extreme weather events. And this report was by the official statement from the U.S. government FEMA office. And in more news, those who are struggling with basic water and drinkable water in Mississippi have at least one particular thing they may not have to worry about. The Water Bill Assistance Program, according to the Mississippi Department of Human Services, will benefit Mississippi families. In Jackson, Mississippi, thousands of Mississippians won't have to worry about providing water to their families through a new program from the Mississippi Department of Human Services. And according to the MDHS, the low-income household water assistance program has received $13 million in American Rescue Plan Act funds to help income-eligible residents maintain access to drinking water and wastewater services through the end of September 2023. This important resource provides financial assistance to eligible households in managing costs associated with water bills, wastewater and sewage bills, stormwater fees, groundwater fees, reconnection fees, late fees, and lien removable fees that are water-related. The LIHWAP is available for individuals and families who need assistance paying a current bill or have past due water bills or had their service terminated or received a notice indicating that their service will be terminated in the next 60 days. Households can receive the LIHWAP grants for both drinking water and wastewater services. The funding is issued directly to the utility providers to support families who meet income requirements. Mississippi residents who qualify for LIHEAP Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program will be eligible for the LIHWAP Low Income Household Water Assistance Program. Applicants' household income must be at or below 60% of the state median income to qualify for these programs. For more information and to apply, visit https://www.mdhs.ms.gov/community-services/. And this will give you access to information leading to this program. Well, of course, the Rainbow Push Coalition, clergy, senators, and other leaders want the Mississippi politicians to do a bit more to address this crisis. They're asking them to test contaminated water. Certainly, even in providing relief for paying for water, they still need to address the lack of drinkable water. And there are a number of residents who are beginning to suffer health challenges as a result of the lack of available drinking water. And those who are stepping forward have also formed a means to send bottles of water to Mississippi, but they want the elected officials to do a bit more. So we'll join a press conference in which the Rainbow Push Coalition and members of the clergy are speaking out for the citizens of Mississippi.
Macri, co-chairman of the Leaders Network. I'm also a longtime member of the Rainbow Push Coalition. Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson is our founder, resident. I'm here standing with some of the stakeholders, faith leaders, and political figures who are supporting the relief effort in Jackson, Mississippi. It's unfortunate that America, the legislators, senators, and Congress have not responded in the manner that they should have. And we are going to make all kind of noise to make sure that they have the same type of attention that other areas of the world are getting from our country. Charity begins at home, and we must do all that we can to make sure that they have clean water. Please receive the interim National Executive Director of Rainbow Push Coalition, Bishop Tavis Bryant.
Today we are joining the Leaders Network and faith leaders and stakeholders all over the Midwest as we are bringing hope to Jackson, Mississippi. The largest delegation of descendants from the South, particularly Mississippi, live here on the west side of Chicago. We have a vested interest, whether it is Jackson, Mississippi, Greenville, Mississippi, Batesville, Mississippi. Mississippi is home for us. And we're joining hands and joining organizations in bringing relief and hope to Jackson, Mississippi. 150,000 residents are impacted by this third world type crisis, where we know that the crumbling infrastructure, we know that climate change, and then the political construct of obstructing getting resources and revenue to the state capital of Mississippi behind the cotton curtain there in Jackson. And so trucks are coming, resources are coming, help is on the way. And on behalf of Reverend Jesse Jackson, we want to thank this collaborative and collective of leadership who have the consciousness and the moral obligation to respond and help us keep hope alive. You can join this campaign by going to rainbowpush.org or the Leaders Network or the SEIU or AFL-CIO or ANSIBA or any number of organizations that are joining. The mental health impact of this crisis on those who are disabled, those who live in nearly 30% of Mississippians who live in Jackson, Mississippi, live below the national poverty line. The health care impact, Reverend Jeanette Wilson, our National Executive Director for Push Excel, can talk to you about Jackson State, a historically black college, at the center of this crisis. Education and protecting children is a premium. Reverend Wilson.
I want to thank Bishop Grant. I want to thank Pastor Ira Ackley, the Leaders Network. I'm standing here with the NAACP, the West Side NAACP, which they will tell you is the best side, one of the most active chapters of the NAACP in the nation, and with Habilitative Systems. And so we're looking at a holistic approach to the issues in Jackson, Mississippi. Yes, there's a water crisis, but it's based on an infrastructure that has been crumbling for the past three decades. And when I say infrastructure, there is no barrier between floodwaters that do come and the sewer plant and the water treatment plant. As a result, when the floodwaters came in, the sewers overflowed and there's a backup in the sewer system. They cannot flush toilets in Jackson, Mississippi. They cannot get clean water from their faucets. They cannot take showers. So when you look at Jackson State, many students had to leave and go home. Then there are many students are from California. They could not go home. Many of those black students at Jackson State were unable to leave Jackson, Mississippi, and go to places. Some people have donated porta potties. That's insufficient in the 21st century. And so we're saying that the Army Corps of Engineers must be called upon, as they have built roads in times of war on foreign shores, come and rebuild the crumbling infrastructure in Jackson, Mississippi. They have the technique, they have the tools, they have the capacity, and Jackson has the need. Additionally, the public schools have had to close because you cannot send a child to school where toilets don't flush, there's no running water in the faucets, and they cannot clean themselves. Mothers with babies, all you women who are out there, you understand what it means to be a mother. and you can't flush, you cannot wash your child, you cannot bathe your child, even in a foot tub, they can't get clean water. So we're shipping water. We need gallons of water. We've asked every sorority, every fraternity, every civic organization. It's our challenge to help Jackson, because it's Jackson today. It is Dixmoor today. It is Mount Bayou, Mississippi today. And it's coming to a city near you. We must stop this. And we're calling President Biden. Federal government has a role to play. They have to give resources to those families in Jackson who had to buy water and had to substitute for the failing system. We're asking the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, to start now reimbursing families. We're calling on SBA, federal and state, to make sure that they allocate resources. We said the governor who's running for reelection, your election depends on what you do for Jackson, Mississippi. You turn back resources for infrastructure that Jackson and other parts of Mississippi needed. And so, turn it back to you.
Well, the hands that pick cotton are also the hands that can pick state legislators. That's been the work of Reverend Jesse Jackson and governors. That's been the work of Reverend Jesse Jackson, and we want Jackson, Mississippi to know the help is on the way. You see the various organizations located at the bottom of the screen, and Reverend Wilson's outlined the nature of this crisis, but there's something that you can do, and you can do it now. Our international headquarters is open every day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are ready to receive from you so we can give relief to Jackson, Mississippi. I want to thank this amazing leadership, collaboration, and collective, and thank you very much, Ira Acri, for this platform of sharing in this partnership.
Anyone else? Well, we just want to say we support the crisis. Too often we be left behind when these things take place. We can't continue to be treated like second-class, third-class citizens. We have to take an effort to move this along. We support this effort, and we support the people in Mississippi, and we just hoping the people down in Mississippi, the governors and legislators, get on board with this effort, and the federal government get on with this effort. We can't get caught like Trina in these other places. We have to be on board to be in front of this and make sure we cure this. We want to ask for everybody to give support behind this.
You know, mental health is critical. Donald Dew and rehabilitative systems. Share just briefly the impact that this relief effort can have in helping those who are dealing with this from a mental health perspective.
Absolutely. And one of the important things I just want to emphasize is that the mental health, anxiety, uncertainty, depression, mm-hmm. and other types of issues that are triggered by this trauma, you know, are occurring, you know, by the day, by the moment. You know, we're talking about our family.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about the fact that during the Great Migration, you know, persons from southern states, in particular Mississippi, migrated to the west side of Chicago. They landed on the west side. So we're not talking about strangers. We're
That's
talking
right.
about folks that we are related to.
That's
My
right.
dad is from Mississippi.
That's right.
You know, and so on down the line. So many of us have relatives
That's
from
right.
Mississippi. So we're not going to ignore Mississippi. We're going to be responsible. We're going to do our very best to ensure that all of the basic needs are attended to. Often we talk about social determinants of health. Every one of those are being impacted right now in Jackson, Mississippi. So we urge you, we ask you, we're prayerfully appealing to you to do your part and join us in this struggle.
And our final speaker is one of our most trusted and dependable allies from Oak Park, Rabbi Max Weiss, long-serving board member of the Leaders Network.
Access to clean water wants to be a fundamental human right. The fact that in America, folks can go without clean water for weeks on end. It's not just a shame, it's a crime.
Yeah.
And I also want to point out that this doesn't happen in white-dominated communities. This is primarily
That's right.
an impoverished, primarily African-American community. That is also a shame and a crime. It gives me honor to be able to stand with Rainbow Bush and Westside NAACP with the Leaders Network supporting this effort. Try to get clean water.
Yep.
Thank you.
And you did a slim due to the
job. Thank you.
Help is on the way.
Help is on the way.
Thank you.
And that was from the Rainbow Push Coalition. Reverend Ira Acri of the West Side led that discussion. And the West Side of Chicago is, in fact, going through literally an explosion, as reported by the Cardinal News, an explosion at a building at the west N Avenue and Central Avenue, Chicago, has rocked the world of some families in that area. Police, firefighters, and paramedics from Chicago responded at about 9:04 a.m. on Tuesday morning, September 20th, at the West End Avenue and Central Avenue Battalion 18 reported the top floor of a four-story building exploded, resulting in complete destruction of the top floor. There was no visible fire reported. The address of the building is 5601 West End Avenue in Chicago. Two adult males were transported code red with traumatic injuries. One patient was transported to Mount Sinai, and one male patient was transported to Loyola. One adult female was transported for injuries sustained when she was hit by a brick. One person was rescued from the third floor initially with no reported injuries. Chicago Fire Department reported two additional transported involving one male transported code red to Stroger and one male transported code yellow to Stroger. A total of eight patients were transported, according to a Chicago Fire Department report at 10:54 a.m. And this report was from the Cardinal News. And if you're not familiar with the codes, of course, code red would be the most severe. Code yellow, not as severe in terms of the trauma from the impact of the explosion. And again, the top floor exploded at this four-story building at West End Avenue and Central Avenue in Chicago. No fatalities, and those who were hit by flying debris are currently in hospital treatment. It's significant that these stories pinpoint some issues that need to be addressed on this Wednesday, September 21st, United Nations International Day of Peace, and the International Day of Peace theme is End Racism, Build Peace. Well, as those who have been working to assist people who are going through trauma and tragedy and fighting natural disasters as well as man-made disasters need help from their neighbors. They need intervention and they need support. And when all people can see all people as part of their human family, many are saying, for this International Day of Peace, we will, in fact, build a new world. This is the on-air daily news for Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. You can go to onaireverywhere.com. That's www.onaireverywhere.com. And go to the radio network page, and hear our daily newscast. We're online and available 24/7. We are live 1 o'clock p.m. Central, 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and you can adjust your time wherever you are in the world to join us live and call in to report your news happening at 515-605-9749. That's 515-605-9749. I'm Naima Latif reporting for On Air Daily News. On Air stands for Online Network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your day.